The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock. The psalm reminds us. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. The entire month of November, we are dedicating every message to the theme that the Lord lives. And that because he lives, we can walk with him in a living relationship. The theme for the month is walking with Christ. And this morning's message is titled, Boosting Your Signal. Boosting your signal. You got it right. Like your cell phone, some spots are dead spots. Other spots are more vibrant, more vital. This morning we're talking about boosting your signal. And the text that we're reading from this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And while you're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let me read to you Psalm 46, 1 through 3. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 12, but while you're turning there, I'm going to read Psalm 46, 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Ever-present help. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. God is an ever-present help. The source is always there. The source is always there. The source of our supply is an ever-present source. And now we are in 1 Corinthians 2, and I'm starting in verse 1. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. Amen. Amen. You know, it says that no eye has seen and no ear has heard and no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. It says, but we have received it. We have received a foretaste of it, not the fullness of it. One day when we see Jesus face to face, we will receive the fullness of what he's talking about here. But while we are here, as the song that we just sang, Blessed Assurance, says, we've received a foretaste of glory divine. We have received a preview. We have been allowed to lick the spoon of what the Lord is cooking up as we await that day when we are able to fully enjoy what he has promised in this passage that I just read. If you're taking notes today, the main idea that I want you to capture is God has given us the privilege, God has given us the privilege of strengthening our connection with himself. God has given us the privilege of strengthening our connection with himself, and all we need is the desire. God has given us the privilege of strengthening our connection with himself, and all we need is the desire. We are connected to the Lord eternally because of Christ. The moment we place our faith in Jesus, the scripture says the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, and we are sealed for all of eternity in him. The Holy Spirit is a promise. He is an engagement ring that says, one day I'm going to come and claim you to be my own, and we will be together forever. The scripture even describes the Holy Spirit in those terms as a promise, as a seal, as a down payment for what is to come. So in that sense, we are connected. And he says, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. So there's no severing the connection. At the same time, he's given us the privilege to strengthen that connection, to deepen that connection, and to experience more of him in this life as a result. That's what we're talking about this month. Walking with Jesus and deepening and strengthening that connection. Getting to know him better than we know him at present. Verse 12 tells us, God has given us his Spirit so we may understand what God has freely given us. So God is giving, and he's given us his Spirit as the receiver to help us to receive. The Spirit is the implanted receiver who tunes us into the things of God, if you will. The signal is always there, and he's given us the Spirit as the receiver to interpret for us the things of God, God's love, God's faithfulness, his power, his presence. Those things are always with us. The variable is the position of our spirits, like our cell phone. The source is always there. God is always loving. God is always faithful. God is all powerful. God loves us beyond imagination. That's always coming at us full force. The variable is our signal and how strong it is and being able to receive what he is freely giving us. The Spirit was given so we could receive what God has freely given us. But we don't max out at four bars. You see, it's infinite. What we are able to learn is infinite because God is infinite. This is why Paul says in the scriptures, I know whom I have believed. He says in Timothy, I know whom I believe, and I am confident that he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. I know Jesus, is what he's saying. I know him. I know him like I know you. I know him better than I know you. And yet, he says in another place in the book of Philippians, he says, I want to know him. I know him but I want to know him. I've got four bars, but I want more than four bars. I want to know him better. And when we talk about knowing him, this is, I'm not talking about a passive, reclusive, you're in a monastery, isolated lifestyle where you're in a corner, sort of just kind of getting to know God that's separate from your life. We're talking about the living God. And as we get to know him, our lives begin to reflect him. He begins to rub off on us. You see, there are many ways you can approach trying to be the kind of person that God intended us to be. One is to start targeting all the various areas that we think we need to improve in. That's one method. To come up with a list of all of your shortcomings and set some goals to try to achieve them or try to overcome them. That's one way. Nothing wrong with it. Many people do it. But there's another way. And the other way is get to know Jesus better. And the more you get to know him, the more he rubs off on you, and the more you become like him, the more you become conformed and transformed to his image. Now, he's doing it anyway, because you've been predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. The moment you came to Jesus, that work started. If you didn't want to become like Jesus, you shouldn't have said yes. Because that started the moment you said yes, and that's why the scripture says, he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. But many of us have issues that we're trying to get better at, trying to get rid of habits, attitudes. It's a great desire. It's a desire that's been placed there by God. The reason we want to do better is because God's in us. But there is a way to approach it that is more effective than just trying to pick off each area like you're at a shooting gallery. And that way is to grow deeper in your connection with the living Savior. It says in Acts 4:13, Jesus' enemies, when they were persecuting the disciples, and Peter piped up and started talking about the gospel, and it says, when they observed the courage of Peter and John, and they recognized that they were unschooled, uneducated, untrained men, they recognized them as having been with Jesus. The more we are with Jesus, not a facsimile of Jesus, not a religious copy of Jesus, the more we are with the living Christ, the more people will begin to recognize us as having been with him. The more we will recognize that in ourselves. Not to impress others, we'll recognize it. And there are certain things that God has given us that allow us to boost our signal in terms of getting to know him better and to strengthen our reception. And you know what these are. There's prayer, there's praise, there's fellowship, Bible study, you know the gamut. I'm not even going to go into all of that because you know that. But the most important thing we need, even beyond all of that, and it actually affects all those other areas, the most important thing we need is desire. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus would ask. Lord, you giving me a blank check? What do you want me to do for you? What if you filled in, Lord, I want to know you better. What do you think he would say? Nah. The most important thing we need is desire. Jesus didn't tell Peter to step out of the boat into the stormy sea. He didn't say that. Peter wanted to step out. Peter's desire prompted him to ask for the Lord to beckon him out into the waters. And he experienced a different Jesus because of it. So my premise today is God has given us the privilege of expanding our relationship with him, and the most critical element is desire. Now, if desire is the critical element, then I'm approaching the message this morning in a different way. I'm going to do something very different for the rest of my time here. Are you up for something different? You know that commercial, are you ready for anything? Are you ready for anything? Are you up for whatever? You ready to step out of the box a little bit? Out of the sermon box, just a little. Not going in a traditional way now. That was the premise in the introduction. You heard all of that. That you can say that's message one. For those of you who wanted the traditional message, you can leave now. For those of you who are up for whatever, I want you to stay with me for the next few minutes. I'm going to, you can put your pens down, because for the rest of the message, it's going to be difficult to capture what I'm about to share with you. You won't be able to write it down. But I'll tell you this, I'm going to post what you're about to hear on our webpage, and you can access it all tomorrow. I will post it tonight, and you will be able to access it tomorrow. So it'll be there for you. But I'm going to take you, because desire is the issue, I'm going to take you into my private Life in Christ art gallery. I'm going to take you into my private Life in Christ art gallery. And if you want to make it more spiritual sounding, I'm going to testify. I'm going to share my example. Scripture says, let the elders be good examples to the flock. So if you need a spiritual connotation for it, if my Life in Christ art gallery is too nouveau, that's what I'm going to do. The purpose is not for you to do as I do. So when you hear what you're about to hear, the purpose is not for you to imitate what I do. The purpose is to increase your desire for him and to display some of the possibilities that exist when we talk about knowing him better. So it's not so nebulous. I'm going to share with you some of my pieces from my October collection. And these are going to seem a bit random, so I want you to think of yourself as being in an art gallery. And I'm being your guide. I'm walking you around, and I'm showing you different pieces of art on the wall and different sculptures and different kinds of other artistic constructions and contraptions. And we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on any one of them. So you got to glance at it and keep on moving. And I hope that by the end of the brief exhibit, the effect, not all the specifics, don't get lost in the specifics. When you're looking at art, you want to take it in as a whole and let it affect your emotions and your spirit and your perception in a much broader way. You ready? As I said, this is just from October. I am for anything and anyone whose heart is to point people to the living risen Christ, to desire him, to connect with him, to experience and promote the riches that are in him, in knowing him. Anyone who desires to live in union with the living Christ and to enjoy fellowship and partnership with him, those are my mothers, my fathers, my brothers, my sisters, my sons and daughters. Anyone who wants Jesus himself more than anything he can give to us or do for us. I don't care who he is. I don't care who she is, where she's from, what denomination he or she represents, what her lifestyle has been or is. If they want Jesus, they are family to me. And we'll figure the rest of it out together as we walk with him. That's one piece. Moving on. Come on, let's go. Kneeling on opposite sides of the bed in the dark of the early morning, Laverne and I held hands and prayed together without words, sharing sentiments with the Lord that needed no verbal expression, agreeing with each other, spirit to spirit to spirit. The Lord inhabits the unfamiliar and the unexpected. He is found in the margins. We see him in the small windows. He appears in the nuances, a degree to the left, an inch higher, a little deeper. He's on the little dirt road off the main highway, in the broom closet just around the corner from the main attraction in the museum. Instead of the popular 9 a.m. or 5 p.m., he's 6:20 a.m. and 2:37 p.m. He's the last place you would look for your lost keys. He stands at the end of the line. He sits in the big arena after everyone has left. He's the last customer just before the store closes. He is not up on the majestic mountaintop where few could ever ascend. Instead, he clothed divinity in humanity and hid himself in ordinariness, walking the dusty streets with stragglers. The best way to find him is to expect him when you least expect him. Next piece. I'm trusting in you, Lord. You have heard my requests. You are faithful in all your ways and kind in all your deeds. You are blessing me right now. Please boost my reception, strengthen my signal, condition my heart to receive your generous endowments of today. I thank you in advance for all you've prepared for me today, just as I thank you for investing what I entrusted to you yesterday. I celebrate your presence in my life today and praise you for your glorious splendor that fills heaven and earth. Touch my awareness in a fresh way today. Let my heart rest in eager anticipation of my encounters with you today, for you are the desire of my heart. Next piece. Nobody else may understand me, but you fully understand me, even beyond my own knowledge of myself. You love the dressing room me. That is why no matter what may be the reasoning or the inclination of my flesh, no matter the doubts and fears of my mind, I will always turn to you in my distress. I will come to you in my messiest condition, even when I am absolutely and inexcusably wrong. Even though I know you are always righteous and just and that you hate wickedness, I know that you know me. I know that you love me. And I entrust me to your care in accordance with your grace. I glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in my flesh. I boast in nothing but the cross of Christ. I come just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. A phone call from my good friend Andy. His brother Ralph passed away yesterday after a battle with cancer. He asked for prayer, and we talked for a while. Andy has a special needs kid and was sharing how people stare at him, at his child, and how it irritates Andy. He said sometimes he just wants to say, "What are you staring at?" I said to Andy, "In God's eyes, brother, we're all special needs kids. The only difference is some of us are more aware of their neediness than others." I am the perfect male specimen. Perfectly designed for the purposes God has for me. Another view of Psalm 139:14. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Thank you, Lord, for this moment, right here, right now. Thank you for this nothing moment that is actually filled with your glory, goodness, love, and faithfulness to me. Thank you for right now. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth, and in my heart, and in my mind. Next piece. Giving thanks is sort of like a boxer's jab. May not look like much, but the cumulative effect takes its toll on the opponent and can often create an opening for a knockout. No matter how intimidating your opposition may be today, keep on jabbing. There is never a time when giving thanks is inappropriate or a waste of time. Don't underestimate its power. Next piece. What do I want, Lord? Here's what I want. This is what I'm after. This is what my striving, my spending time alone with you, this is what it's about. When I first see you after this life, I want to experience you shaking your head from side to side, grinning and pointing at me with affection that says, "There he is." I want my unique something else-ness here on earth as I seek to know you better to have an endearing effect on your heart that will produce that response in you towards me. That's the specific flavor of the old King James translation that says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," that I desire to receive from you. Next piece. Boy, did I say a prayer this morning. You know the kind that touches your heart to the brink of tears. It was exactly what I wanted to say. It captured my thoughts and feelings and perspective and my very soul. And no one was there to hear it or to say amen. No one except the one who understood it better than me. No one but the one who will remember it long after even I have forgotten it. The only one who would and can do anything about it. Therefore, the audience of the one is the most important audience of all. Thank you, Lord, for the love you're giving me when you are not making my life easier. Thank you, Lord, for the love you are giving me when you are not making my life easier, when it isn't pleasant or exciting or dynamic. Consider it all pure joy. In everything, give thanks. I really appreciate the way my time alone downstairs with the Lord ended, with me bowing low before him with gratitude for his craftsmanship of my relationship with him. This at the end of a time that was not particularly potent, revealing, energizing, or refreshing, and yet in my heart, I believe and still believe God's love and faithfulness to me was in full force, and this was part of his ongoing craftsmanship. What a pleasant morning. What a pleasant walk this morning. A fall mist shrouding the brilliance of the trees and the exhilarating notion settling over my heart that the Lord and I are in a partnership of building this relationship together every day. I cannot fully express my gratitude and don't know what to do with all my joy except share it. I have the sensation that I've hit the lottery. Realizing I'm set for life, I keep checking the numbers to see if they're correct, and they continue to match. I can't describe the riches because they're not of this world, and yet they're as real as anything on earth, only they are better riches because they are forever, and I can take them with me. I can take them with me. They are part of the unsearchable riches of Christ. Final piece. Who is your host? The human experience can be marvelous regardless of our circumstances. It all depends on our host. If it's a self-guided expedition, you get what you get. If Christ is the guide, you get him and all that he is. What's most important is not what we are becoming for Christ, but who Christ is becoming to us. We don't want others to admire us as something special. We want them to see in us an open invitation from Christ. You see, brothers and sisters, God didn't create us primarily to accomplish things for him. He's more than capable of doing everything and anything he desires by himself, except to have a loving, intimate relationship with us. He wants our hearts and our trust, not just our service or subservience. He wants to be our heart's desire as we are his. He wants our confidence, not just our conformity. He wants the effervescence of our personality, not sterile ritualism. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. God is not impressed by intelligence or discipline or popularity. What God wants from each of us is something we all have to give, regardless of our spiritual age. Amen. And thank you for sharing my gallery with me this morning.